2 Timothy chapter number 3, and my lesson is to cover all the chapter, 17 verses we'll find here. We'll do our best to maybe get to the end here. In this chapter, you're going to find that Paul, in his letter unto Timothy, he is basically reminding him and making sure he understands there are dark days that lie ahead. Now, this was written years and years ago unto Timothy, just making sure he understood that as you live the Christian life, and if you live the Christian life the way that it ought to be lived, you're going to have some persecutions that will come into your life. It's a guarantee. Now, I think sometimes we have a misunderstanding of what the Christian life is to be. You know, there's a lot of people that claim to be a Christian, but it's getting to where it's fewer and fewer people that actually live the Christian life. It's one thing to go to church on a Sunday and sit in a pew and go home and say, I'm living the Christian life, but boy, how do you live on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday? And it's important that we live for God, and he's going to talk about some problems. He's going to be reminding us here, I believe, in this chapter that there are dark days that lie ahead. And in fact, as we read through this chapter, I honestly believe we're in that day. I think you're going to find all the different descriptions that Paul is going to give of what mankind will be like. You'll be able to say, I mean, that's very obvious. That's very present in our day that we live in. But in this chapter also, not only is there dark days, difficulties, persecutions that will be upon a believer, he also reminds us that the Word of God, the Scriptures, is what's going to carry you through those difficult days. You see, the Word of God is our greatest treasure on earth, I believe, next to probably salvation. The greatest possession that I have is the Word of God. It's the Word of God that will help you and instruct you and encourage you. It will carry you through these dark days. So let's jump into the chapter here. Chapter 3, verse number 1. He says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, perilous means hard. It means difficult. It means terrible. That is a description of the word perilous. And we have to understand, the longer we live, the world is going to get worse and worse. It's not getting better and better. There are some religions that teach that the world's getting better and better and better, and because it's getting better, that will usher in Jesus Christ, and different things that they teach will happen and so forth. That is not true. If you read Scripture, you'll find that it's not getting better, it's getting worse. And you'll find that the world is getting worse and worse and worse. And you'll find that that is according to Scripture. Jesus Christ will come on the scene, and he's the one that's going to set it all straight. So we have to understand that perilous times, he says in verse number 1, shall come. Now, I personally believe the perilous times, they're here today. And I know that for a fact, because you're going to read through a lot of descriptions here that Paul is going to give. And I think that you'll see here that we live in that day. You'll find in verse number 2, he says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." And he's going to go through all these different descriptions here describing the struggles and problems that you're going to find in society in these perilous times. And he starts off by saying that there are going to be people that are prone to love themselves more than others. They are intent on fulfilling their own desires. They're lovers of their own selves. They love themselves, not God. Now, we have to be careful that we do not fall into that category. But we live in a society, I think we would all agree, where a lot of society, they love themselves pretty well. That's why I don't want to veer off. I've got a lot of statements here and a lot of words here for us to study. But we find, first of all, in verse number 2, he starts describing mankind in these perilous days, these last days, as he describes in verse number 1, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. You'll find the next word, covetous. They will love material things more than spiritual things. Right? We live in that day. We better be careful that we are not that way. We have to remind ourselves, the home you live in, it's going to burn up someday. The car, the truck, the automobile that you drive, guess what? If it don't rust out, it's all going to burn up someday. The material things of this world are, why covet things that have no value? Now, I realize we put a value on a lot of different things. You go to buy an automobile, they're going to put a price on that. That's what they value that automobile to be worth. And by the way, it's a lot more than it's worth, I'll tell you that. If you buy a home, one of the things the bank is going to require you to do is get an appraisal. They'll send an individual out to your property. They'll determine how much land you own, and they'll determine the size of your house, and they'll determine what they think your house is valued at. They'll put a value on that. But when you really think about it, if they put $1 value on your house, it's about a dollar's worth more than it's really worth. Because everything in this world, it's just material things. They have no value when it comes to spiritual things. And that's why we have a lot of people that covet things, and that is basically that they love material things more than spiritual things, right? He's describing the mankind in these last days, perilous days, he says here. Next word in verse number 2, boasters. A boaster is a what we would describe as a bragger. I was studying this morning, and I cannot get this out of my mind. I have friended a person that's a man in life. And I think he's the biggest bragger that I've met in 40 years. Good person, not a bad person. But I jotted down myself some notes when I was studying a little bit. This person here, he knows everything. He's done everything. He's been everywhere, and he knows everyone. You ever met somebody like that? And he's not a bad person. But, I mean, I'm amazed. I don't think there's a place the guy's never worked. I mean, it's just amazing to me. I have a hard time understanding why a person wants to be that way. You know, after a while, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't like being around people like that. But that's a sign that you're living in the last days. And it's not just lost people that struggle with this. I'm talking about sometimes saved people who struggle with this. Boasters. What is a boaster? He always boasts, or she always boasts about how great they are. It's a bragger, someone who brags all the time. Does anybody else know people like that? It's just a sign that you're in those days. That's the time we live in. And you got to remind yourself here that Paul is writing unto Timothy, warning him about these type of people. And he's going to give some instructions of how you handle it. How do you deal with people that are, lovers of their own selves, or they covet all the time, or they're boasters, or braggers, if you would. You'll find in verse number 2, the next word that we find here is proud. The individuals that are in the last days here, they put themselves above everyone else. In fact, they probably look down upon everybody else. Why? They're proud. You know, when you think about it in life, when it comes to the span of life, I mean, I guess we could look back over things in our life, but I mean, what is there really to be proud of? I mean, this life here is just, it's a second when it comes to eternity. I mean, what are we going to be proud of? The automobiles that we purchased, the homes that we live in, or the financial status, or the job that we have, or our 401k, or our savings account. I mean, when you really think about it, all those things are going to burn up someday. But these people are proud. You'll find in verse number 2, the next word he says here is blasphemers. They speak evil of God, God's people, or good things. They are blasphemers. They cannot control their tongues. A blasphemer is someone whose tongue is out of control, and they're always critical of the things of God and the people of God and the work of God. They blaspheme the things of God. I mean, if you don't think we live in that day, just turn on the television, watch the news a little bit. Next, you'll find in verse number 2, disobedient to parents, describing young people. Do you not believe we live in that day today? Disobedient to parents, have absolutely no respect for mom and dad. I cannot stand being around kids like that, and to be honest with you, I can't hardly be around the parents because they allow them to be that way. That is one of the hardest things for me to comprehend, that parents allow their children just to be disobedient all the time. Now, you know, everybody who's ever had children, you know as well as I do, they're going to do bad. They're going to break the rules. They're going to be disobedient. But, you know, what's bad is mom and dads that continue to allow them to be disobedient over and over and over and over. I mean, just go to Walmart and watch them. I think I mentioned this back several weeks ago. We were in Walmart the other week, and there was a lady pushing a cart with a child who screamed, I think, for 10 minutes straight. I mean, I think that you could have been in the produce section or in the automotive section, and you could still hear this child. I'm not talking about crying. I'm talking about screaming and kicking and throwing a fit in that buggy. And the mom kept saying over and over, if you don't stop that, I'm going to spank you. And I thought, you know, let me help you real quick. You ever felt that way sometimes? I'll help you. I'll volunteer my service free of charge. And what's bad, mom's lying to the child all over Walmart. You keep doing that, I'm going to spank you. I'm thinking, lady, you done told that child 20 times. You're not going to spank that child, and that child knows that. That's why he's still screaming. But now, I mean, we've got teenagers act like that. I mean, we've got such a, I don't think we realize today the problem we have in society and disobedient to parents. I mean, you know, I realize we live in a politically correct generation nowadays, but, you know, you go back many years ago, you backtalk mama, she'll slap you across the room. Am I right? And you think you push mama over all day long, and when I've had it happen to me, you wait till your daddy gets home. And I knew then, oh, I'm in big trouble now. Right? Now, I lived in a cruel and home, but my dad whooped us. I mean, we got whoopings. I know you can't say that. Y'all go tell the law and I'll go to jail, or my dad will, actually. No discipline anymore. Disobedient to parents. He goes on. He's got a long list here. We're just in verse number 2. He says not only disobedient to parents, this group of people, they're going to be unthankful. Well, a lot of these words are very easy to understand, unthankful. No sense of gratitude. They feel as if, basically, this person will be someone they feel like they're deserved everything in life. You owe it to them. We live in a society where everybody feels like somebody owes them something. You know what? I don't feel like anybody owes me anything this morning. But we live in a generation where everybody feels like they've been wronged. And guess what? You know, I've accepted the fact in life, life's not going to be fair, and I'm going to get wronged in life. But these people here, they are unthankful. They have a sense of gratitude. They cannot utter the words, thank you. They feel as if they deserve everything. They feel like everybody owes them something in life. You'll find also in verse number 2 the word unholy. That's pretty simple to understand. They're ungodly people. I don't think it's by mistake here, the last word here, and I realize it's a comma, it continues on, but unholy. This group of people, it's an unholy group of people we find here. We find in verse number 3, they are without natural affection. Without natural affection. What does that mean? It means they do not possess a natural love. Now, there's a lot of directions we can go here with this right here, but I honestly believe verse number 3, we definitely live in a day where there's a lot of people without natural affection. It's not natural for a man to want to live with another man. It's not natural for a woman to want to marry another woman. Right? You think I'm crazy? He was in the news not too long ago. Somebody wanted to marry their dog. I'm serious. They wanted a ceremony. They wanted it to be legally binding. They ought to put that person in jail for just being stupid. What is that? That's unnatural. Nothing wrong with having a dog. We've got a good dog. My wife would debate that a little bit, but I'm not going to marry a dog. But I can't understand how a man want to marry another man. Let me tell you what it is. It's unnatural. It's unnatural. He goes on. Let's see here. Verse number 3. Truce breakers. You can't trust them. They're going to break any truce they come up with. All right? You'll find that they are also, verse number 3, false accusers. They're going to spread gossip. They're going to tell lies. They're going to make up things about people and tell others and just lie and gossip and lie and gossip because they're false accusers in life. Continent, you'll find the next word, verse number 3. They have no self-control. That's what that word means. No self-control whatsoever. I mean, we live in a generation of people where they don't even have control of themselves. He goes on, verse number 3, fierce, which means to be wild and untamed. Wild and untamed. We find that all the time. Just look around in society. Most of society this morning is just living with no boundaries, no rules, no lines in the sand. They're just living life and doing whatever they want to, whether it's legal or not. And now we have a society of people now that are completely unhinged. I mean, you take the drug epidemic in our society today. They know they're going to get caught. They don't even care. They're just people that are out of control. They're wild. They're untamed. Verse number 3, despisers of those that are good. They despise good things. One of the reasons they will despise you is because you're trying to live a life that we would classify as a good life. Anything good, they hate it. They despise those that are good. Verse number 4, traitors. They're traitors. You'll find in verse number 4 the word heady, which means reckless behavior. Verse number 4, high-minded. They're very arrogant. Verse number 4, they're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. My, do we not live in society like that? They're more concerned about pleasing themselves. And he's describing this. He's taking verse number 1 where it says that we're in the last days, perilous times shall come, and he's describing what mankind's going to be like during this time. And then there's verse number 5. This is very, 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 very important because I think this is very prominent today. Verse number 5 says, having a form of godliness. You need to underline the word form. F-O-R-M. The word form here, I ran a little bit of a word search this morning. It's an outward appearance. It means they have an outward appearance in verse number 5 of godliness. But it's just an appearance. It's as I have jotted down in my notes, they were professors, but they're not possessors. Does that make sense? They look good on the outside, but they're rotten on the inside. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And then this last 4 words is some instruction that he gives. From such, do what? Turn away. Turn away. You see, I believe there is a point in life. This isn't popular teaching of today, but I think there is a point in life with some people that me as a believer has no business being friendships with them. Turn away. Did I read that last 4 words correctly? From such, turn away. Now, we teach and we preach a lot of this to young people and teenagers about friendships, choosing the right friends, stay away from the wrong crowd. If it even has the appearance of evil, get away from, you know, we do all that. But it's amazing to me. We teach all of our young people to do that. But I find often in life, adults struggle with it as much, if not more, sometimes than young people. See, they have the form of godliness in verse number 5. They are what we would call, according to Scripture, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. You got to be careful about them. You'll find in the verse number 5 here that Paul warned Timothy to turn away from them. You got to get away from it. Why? Why do you think Paul tells Timothy to turn away? Because if you're not careful, if you rub shoulders with them too long, guess what? You'll end up being like them. You'll start thinking like them. You'll start thinking, you know, well, it's probably okay. You know, it's amazing to me of where Christians stood just 20 years ago and where churches stood 20 years ago and where we've come to today. I've got news for you. There comes a place in life where you have to turn away. You'll find in verse number 6 and verse number 7 kind of describes how this ungodly group, is how they work. He says in verse number 6, "For of this sort are they which crept into houses and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Very important verse, two verses here. Verse 6 and 7, it's describing how ungodly this group is and how they're going to work. You'll find here in verse number 6 and 7, in verse number 6, it says, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses." They will walk in, they creep in. By the way, they'll walk into your house. I'm talking about your home. They'll walk into this house of God. And I think it happens everywhere. And they creep in. I was studying a little bit the word creep here, and it has a likeness as of the serpent that was in the Garden of Eden. That's how they're going to work. They're going to creep in. You'll find that it also mentions here in verse number 6, they lead captive, if you would. And it describes here, who do they take captive? There's a description here that is given of silly women, as it says here in verse number 6. It says, "And led captive silly women." All right? And you'll find here that these silly women are also going to be described here. They're laden with sin. They are led away with divers lust. They are ever learning. That's interesting, the word. I had to study a little bit, ever learning. I thought if they're learning, then how is it that they are laden with sin and led away by divers lust if they're ever learning? Now, and I had a wrong thought here. The word ever learning basically means they jump from one false teaching to another false teaching. You understand? And the reason you're going to find this to be true, because they also find here in verse number 7, this is very, very important, they are never. Now, let's stop here in verse number 7. Am I reading this correctly in verse number 7? Ever learning and never. Now, never means when. It's never going to happen. Think about this. Think about what Paul is saying right here at the end of verse number 7. And never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're never going to get there. That's pretty deep. It's how they're working. This is how they're going to work. This is how they're going to actually bring people to their side, if you would, or try to lead people astray in their direction. As he describes here, they're led captive in verse number 6 and 7. He describes them as silly women. He also describes the silly women here as ones that are laden with sin. They are led away with divers lust. They are ever learning, which means they jump from one false doctrine to another false doctrine because they're never able to come to the knowledge of truth. And by the way, they live in our society. They live in your world. I think we need to understand and realize this morning, we live in dangerous days. And I have no doubt that a lot of us this morning could probably give a testimony of someone that you know, or maybe you knew of them, or maybe you were friends with them, you may be friends with them now, maybe even a family member that has been led astray into a lot of false doctrine. It's not that they just walk in, they creep in. I don't know, maybe we could call them, they're creeps. You ever heard somebody, you know, describing somebody as a creep? Well, this individual that Paul is describing here, someone they creep in. They can creep into your household. They can creep into a church. And their goal is to lead people astray. We read verse number 8 and 9. I'm not going to read verse 8 and 9. I think I'll, let me move on. Let me go down here to verse number... look at verse number 10, verse number 11. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Paul is telling Timothy, you've known my doctrine. Speaking of Paul, manner of life. You know what manner of life that I've lived. Purpose, what purpose I've lived in life. The faith that I've lived in life. The long suffering, the charity, patience, persecutions in verse number 11. Afflictions which came unto me at Antioch. And he also says here, in verse number 11, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. So Paul is telling Timothy here, reminding Timothy what has happened to him personally in his life, and he's telling Timothy, and you know all this to be true. You've actually witnessed it with your own eyes in my life, and he's telling him that, but guess what? The Lord can carry you through all of it. We're reminded to endure whatever persecutions and afflictions come our way. And listen to me, when you live right, persecution is going to come to you in your life. You will get persecuted in life. I've had people ask, well, you know, I don't know that I feel like I've ever been persecuted in life. Well, if that be true, then I have to almost question, are we living the way we ought to live? I don't think this morning that we ought to walk out of the church doors and go out in society and feel like we're any better than anybody else in this world, because we're not. We don't look down upon people. We're not. We are not to look at ourselves as better than other people, whether they be, even if they're lost. But I am going to say this morning, if you live that book you hold in your lap, there's going to be people that's not going to like you. Say, well, I don't know that I ever had anybody not like me. Then I would almost question, are you living the book? Now, some people take that to an extreme, to where they feel like it's their job to go around just antagonizing this world. I don't think you have to do that at all. I think if you'll just live according to the Word of God, you love God, serve God, you witness for God, you become a testimony for God, you live according to the way the book tells you to live, you're just going to find yourself in life where there's going to be people that's not going to like you. There's going to be God haters in this world. They're going to hate God, they're going to hate God's work, and they're going to hate everybody who's associated with God's work. And you will be persecuted. Paul is reminding Timothy in verse number 10 and verse number 11 of the life that he's lived, and because he lived this life, because he lived the doctrine, the manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, affliction, because he did all that and lived that in his life, he suffered because of it. But he also reminds him, but God carries you through it. Verse number 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. What's the next word? Does it say shall or might? The word shall says it's going to happen. It's not a maybe. Paul is not saying here in verse number 12 that all those that live godly in Christ Jesus, it possibly could happen that you're persecuted. That's not what he is saying here. He is saying in verse number 12, yea, he says, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Is that what it says? You shall. Now, I think we have a misunderstanding sometimes of what persecution really is in life. And that's maybe for a different study this morning. But what Paul is saying, it's just natural going to happen in life. The world's not going to be your friend. It's not going to love you because of your stand for Christ. In fact, some of them are going to hate you because of your stand for Christ. All right. So verse number 13, he says here, but evil men and seducers shall wax what? Worse and what? Worse and worse. Now, if I read that correctly, if I understand that, it doesn't tell me that it's going to get better and better. He tells me, verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You see, verse number 13 tells me that evil men, basically what Paul is saying here, their number's going to grow, and they're going to grow, and they're going to grow, and there's going to be more of them, and more of them, and more of them. And I believe there's more of them today than it was 20 years ago in my life. Why? It's Scripture. Verse 13, he says here, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. What are they going to do? Deceive and being deceived. Are we aware this morning there's a lot of deceivers in life? I find this to be very, very true. I guess I really struggle in life sometimes with people that brag on the Lord. I'm all for people that brag on the Lord and want to talk about their faith, and I like being around people that like to talk about their faith, but I do not like it when they walk away from me and live like the devil himself. I think that's hurting the cause of Christ more than it's helping the cause of Christ. And there's a lot of people in life like that. I find it at times that it can be even discouraging sometimes as a believer. And I think there's a lot of deceivers in this world. And their goal is to try to fool you and everybody else because they're deceivers. They deceive and are being deceived. Verse number 14, but, even though all this prior, but, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. That's in the past. He's talking about just make sure that you continue things that you learned in the past and that you were assured of in the past, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So Paul is telling Timothy here, Timothy, you stay on the right track in life. He's telling him in verse number 14 that you continue in the things that thou hast learned and had been assured of in your life. You know, there's nothing wrong with still preaching and teaching that we ought to continue to follow the old paths in life. And then he also tells him, I think it's also important, he mentions at the end of verse number 14, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. It's also good to remember those that taught you. I think I've shared this with you before. I can still remember going to Sunday school as a child. Brother Richardson, can you still remember? I can still see the Sunday school class. I can still see my teachers in my mind right now. Good godly people, and they're in heaven today, but I praise God for those who gave of their time when I was a child to help and teach me the Word of God. I'll be honest with you, I can see the hallway. I can remember my class on the left side of the hallway. I can remember actually getting up in age, and the last classroom in that hallway is down on the right, last classroom on the right. Brother Klutz was his name. Tall, tall fella. He was the local barber in our town, owned a barber shop, and he was the barber in town. If you got your hair cut, you went to him, or you had to go out of town. He was the only one. He never, ever ended a Sunday school classroom where he did not make us bow our head and close our eyes, and he gave the gospel every single Sunday. He gave it so much, I could quote it better than him. And I'll never forget, he was the most burdened man that I've ever met. As a layman in our church, as a Sunday school teacher, and I'll never forget how burdened he was. And it was all boys' class. The girls were separated. I remember that. And I can remember him actually weeping because he wanted all of us to leave his class saved. Every Sunday. Every Sunday. And I can still remember that. You see, it's good to look back and reflect back on the things that we were taught as a child. Not only the things that we were taught and the things that we were assured of, but also those that taught us. And thank God for godly people in our past that we can look back to and just say, thank God for that individual. He wasn't on staff. He didn't get paid. He was just a layman in the church that taught a Sunday school class. And I'm going to be honest with you. The first time the seed I felt like was ever planted in my mind that I was lost and need to be saved was in his classroom. He didn't get to receive or... I look at him. He was the one that planted the seed. You know how the Word of God tells us there's some that plant. You don't see the end result. You just plant the seed. Somebody else waters. You remember that? And somebody else may even enjoy the harvest. He didn't get to enjoy the harvest of seeing me be led to Christ through his ministry of his Sunday school class. I got saved a little later after that. But he was the one that planted that seed. And Paul tells Timothy it's good sometimes just to reflect back. I think it's good for me sometimes to look back in my life and look at that Sunday school hallway. Remember those classrooms I went to. Remember that young the ones that taught me in those Sunday school classes, that taught me the Scripture and the Word of God. They were the ones that helped guide and lead and direct. And as Paul mentions here in verse number 14, but continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Verse 15, and that from a, what's that next word, a what? Child, which he's telling Timothy here, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, I think it's best to reach someone in their childhood. I think it's best to get saved at a young age. I think it's best to start going to church as a child. Doesn't always happen that way in life. There may be some of you in this room that maybe you weren't reached till later, maybe even in adulthood. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm just saying best case scenario is let's reach them while they're young. Training is I think works best when it starts at an early age in life. You know the old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Now, that doesn't apply spiritually, but I do believe it's best to start when a person's a child. You'll find some well-known verses. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God, and is, what's that next word? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we find in verse number 16 that Scripture, all Scripture, it's inspired of God. It's profitable. It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for instructions in righteousness. And then verse 17, we're going to make it here, the end of the chapter, that the man of God may be what? Perfect. The word perfect there does not mean sinless. Circle that word. It means to be complete or fit for use. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, this morning, what you need to help you carry out the work of God in your life is sitting right in your lap. It's called the Word of God. It is the inspired Word of God, and it's profitable. And he even lists how it is profitable in our life. Our time's out. Let's do pray, and we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll end our Sunday school lesson. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for our time that we have around your Word. And Lord, we thank you for this chapter that is so full of so much valuable information to help us in our life today. And I pray that it will do just that. We pray for our service this morning, the message, for your blessings upon all that's said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.